Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode.
The police have caught the culprits, it seems.
Who are they?
Two boys in grade 10.
So, can I go now?
What happened to Fariza's display was a large example of racism. But smaller things, like words, that's where this stuff starts. Like your fashion crime ticket, accusing Fariza of being a terrorist. I'd like to apologize to you on behalf of the school and invite you to recreate your display in the foyer.
Thank you.
Believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. I don't know the rest of the song. Hey, everybody. It's Narbos and Broomheads. And how's it going? My name is Alan. I'm going to be one of your pals going through this week's episode called Don't Believe the Hype, where we talk about racism and homophobia, all wrapped up into one 22-minute beautiful package. So on Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram, you can find me at Slip with Five Eyes, and you can follow this podcast at Narbos Podcast. And yeah, I'm going to read an email in a second, but before I do, I've got a group of non-racist and non-homophobes, or at least I hope so. We'll see as this episode goes on. I'm going to pass this one out as far east as we can possibly go. Who would that be?
Ooh, I think that'd be I, Ted. That's me. And this song, I don't know if you're going to get into it, but this is one of the first Public Enemy albums I ever bought. It's off and Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back, a classic rap album. But I bought it because there was a Anthrax and Public Enemy mashup, Bring the Noise.
Bring the Noise.
a few years after this came out. So when I put it in my tape player, the double tape player, and I played it, and it was the original version, I was actually pretty disappointed. But the whole album, I got into it and loved it. It's a great album. So, yeah, that's your musical history, I guess. And I'm Ted at Say Wah 3, so don't believe the hype. Barry, what are you saying? I'll just look out my window.
Boy.
That's right.
Yeah, boy.
There you go. That's
Flavor Flav.
He has the spirit.
Yeah. Big Public Enemy fan, I gotta say. I did have this one. I also had Apocalypse 91.
The Enemy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a couple of great albums. And I did enjoy my Public Enemy. But I am Barry. You can follow me on Twitter at Barry R. Flynn. And big shout out to Rube Dog, who gave us a cameo from one spinner today, which we really appreciate. Ted and I.
That's amazing.
I am saluting. He cannot see it, but Mr. Rube Dog, you are a scholar and a gentleman, sir.
thank you very much. And let's send it.
Awesome.
It was. It was awesome. I really unexpected and very nice. And poor Spinner is saying he's in lockdown in Toronto and he didn't have a chance to get his hair cut.
Oh.
But that's okay. Still not vaccinated here. Hopefully soon. My wife's getting vaccinated tomorrow, so that's a good positive sign. Let's send it to Saskatchewan.
Hello, it's Arlo coming to you from Regina. And I am also not vaccinated yet. My age came up today, but there's no appointments. So, to quote Denali the drag queen from RuPaul's Drag Race. Sis, I am frustrated boot.
Oh, I get it. That makes sense to me.
Words to live by.
But yeah, I'm frustrated because I, you know, technically I should be able to get the vaccine, but there are no vaccines for me. So yeah, it's frustrating. But otherwise, it's an absolutely beautiful day out, even though it snowed earlier this week. So yeah.
Rumor has it there's a lot of vaccines coming next week, I think, countrywide. Is that true?
Let's hope.
I can go through the whole schedule with you, but I'll do it off air because I don't think the listeners care. But you are correct.
So, Ted, I wanted to, since you're really familiar with the song Don't Believe the Hype.
Yes.
Does the content of the song have anything to do with what this episode is about, or was it selected, do you think, just specifically for the name?
It has to be specifically for the name, because I don't think it has anything. Yeah. I'm racking my brain going, it doesn't have anything to do with the song, with the show, does it? So no, there's minimal crossover here.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
does anyone have a submission for an alternate?
Oh, well, no, I mean, I've got the lyrics up here, and here's one of the lyrics. Clear all the madness, I'm not a racist. Huh? Huh?
Okay. All right.
That might be the only thing.
I'm willing to bet that's more work than the producers or the writers of this show did to try and match it up.
Yeah, yeah.
You're hired.
That's right.
Did you tell us where we could find you on social media, Arlo?
Oh, I didn't. You can follow me on Instagram at ARLOESCOTT.
Yeah, hit her up if you got a vaccine that you can give her, please. Anyone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this show is basically Alan and three anti-vaxxers. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Anti-maskers.
You don't know what they're putting in that stuff. I don't like my freedom being taken. Good Lord.
Before we get into the episode, narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com if you want to hit us up. Maya Bradburn wrote to us and said, to the Broombos dream team. So we're Broombos.
I like it.
I've wanted to write you on so many occasions in response to so many hilarities on your podcast. I just discovered you a few weeks ago. I've been binging ever since. The nostalgia during a second year of COVID has been comforting. Anyways, I just tried Googling Aloysius and Sweet Violet, and she found a photo of not Aloysius, but like whatever the Upper New York version was of like the creepy looking fucking Big Bird. So, yeah, anyways, there is a photo in this, which I will share. Anyways, I love your podcast. Looking forward to every episode. Tells us about John Bertram being Laura Bertram's father. Which, have we actually confirmed that?
I don't think we have.
I don't think we've confirmed that.
I mean, we've kind of believed it to be canon, but I guess we should find out for sure, right?
As in, get DNA tests from both of them just to confirm it, or?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, Laura Bertram, John Bertram, please send us your DNA tests. We need to know this, please.
Don't forget to like and subscribe.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
So thanks a lot to Maya for reaching out to us. Also, we have Julia Mercer who has written to us from Windsor, Ontario. Would love to guest host, and we are going to be arranging for guest host, I'm sure, in the coming weeks. So. Julia, we could be reaching out. Stay tuned.
Woo!
Woo! Yeah. Again, narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com for that. And let me just put my my analog clock necklace around my neck.
Mm-hmm. Mandatory.
And let's get started with Don't Believe the Hype. Was mentioned, this is a song by Public Enemy. Off of It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back. I'm surprised that the LP, I guess, very popular in Newfoundland. I did not know.
Big Public Enemy fans down here.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I believe they were one of Great Big C's influences. They didn't they do a cover of 911 as a joke on one of their
That's the Borax.
Yes, sea shanty style they did it.
Exactly. Don't Believe the Hype is the 11th episode of season 2 of Degrassi the Next Generation, airing in Canada on December 1st, 2002, in the U.S. a couple of weeks later, December 23rd, 2002. I guess this was the Christmas episode in the States.
Merry Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah. Written by James Hurst, story and teleplay by David Sutherland, director Anais Granofsky. Who is that, everybody?
Who could that be?
It's Lucy. Is that Lucy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
It's Lucy.
Yeah, Lucy. it's director Lucy. So.
That's right. Lucy Fernandez.
Yeah.
Using her camcorder.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it's like it's creep. It creeps. And now Don't Believe the Hype. The two credits.
So it should be It Creeps Part 2, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so we are...
Did she direct many of these? I didn't know she was ever involved in that. Sorry.
I don't know. Let me click on her credit here. And
this is definitely the first one, I think.
Yeah. It says here she has directed two other films, The Limb Salesman and Cross Country, and just this episode. And of course, if I'm not mistaken, she was in a movie where there was full nudity and we found a photo, so...
Mm-hmm.
This was when she was of age, everybody, full adult. So, yes. Just so you know, so that's what we know. I would say, you know, we've covered some pretty heavy subject matter, but this one's a little bit heavier in terms of what we're talking about, right?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, we've got racism. We've got Islamophobia. We've got some homophobia. We've got lessons about just being who you are, right?
Yeah, I think it's important to note too, like, this is what, 2002, so like September 11th happened in 2001, so just in terms of like where the world was in terms of Islamophobia at the time that this was filmed, like, it was a very prevalent scenario, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
As opposed to now, where there is racism since then, solved. So it's very good. We live in a post-racist world, and it's great. Yeah.
But the next generation is really hitting these hard-hitting topics the last few. I mean, we had a rape episode, then we had a eating disorder episode, then we had a very cringeworthy episode. I guess that was more of a comic relief one, but now we're getting into this. So, I mean, there's some pretty heavy topics over the last few episodes here.
Yeah, we're not fucking around anymore. Here we go, right?
We had that big locker feud with Toby and JT. It was pretty hard hitting.
I mean, he cut his sweater arm off. Like,
oh my god, that poor sweater.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, here we go. Actually, another thing about this episode, we focus on Hazel. It's her starring episode, one of the very few, and make her look really good in this one. So that's great.
Really shined her up.
Yeah. So we start off with a bang. Terry is at her locker with Paige and Hazel, contemplating bringing haggis in for International Day. Hazel asks if it's made of stomach or liver or something grosser, and Terry says it's her Scottish heritage. I can confirm haggis, absolutely delicious.
Really?
I agree. I agree. I mean, I think modern haggis is made with a little bit less of the traditional offal, as far as I know. Like, normally it has like ground up lungs and stuff like that, but like, if you get it in North America, like, I don't think it's usual to still put the lungs in.
And it's boiled in the stomach, you know. Don't actually eat the stomach. You mash it up and put it in the stomach, and then you cook it up and then you eat it from there. But it is organ meat. It's like, it's a lot of ground organ meats.
Well, you know, liver and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think is more like the modern recreation of it, I think, is more like ground meat with a little bit of organ meat rather than just sort of the pure organ meat. Also, you don't have to put it in a stomach if that grosses you out. I have a friend who does catering and makes haggis for the like men's club that he's a part of or whatever, the Freemasons, every year for the celebration or whatever, and he just buys big like sausage casings
Yeah.
Like the kind of sausage casing, like those big bungs for the huge sausages. So he just buys those and stuffs them with the haggis mixture.
Big bungs. And makes the haggis in that. Salivating right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That celebration that you're talking about, by the way, is Robbie Burns Day.
It's Robbie Burns Day. Yeah, that's it.
The Scottish Celebration Day. So Paige, I guess it was actually just Terry and Hazel speaking, because Paige comes up to them and she has herself a booklet of tickets and she hands one out to Terry for a fashion crime for wearing last year's jeans. Hazel says Paige should get a ticket because she started the school year off with a mullet. And then
she didn't, but anyway.
Yes.
And according to canon, it was a mullet, but it was not a mullet.
Yeah, it was her hair as it looks like right now.
Essentially.
I haven't bought a pair of jeans, I'd say, in 4 years at least, so.
So that's like four fashion crimes for one for each year.
Four tickets. Sorry, yeah. Barry.
So Hazel then says, do you want a real fashion crime? And she looks down the hallway, and we see Fariza, who is Iraqi and wearing a hijab, walking down the hall. Terry asks if they're bald under there. Ashley, overhearing it, is like, fuck you, Terry.
Fair.
Yeah, absolutely.
She says, don't you think you're just a bit ignorant? And she walks off. And then we get Hazel walking up to this girl, and she says right to her face, you're under arrest for the crime of being terrorist chic. The girl should have punched her.
I've got to say, like, this was pretty, like, I didn't really remember this episode. Like, I remembered parts of it, you know, like, I remembered that Hazel was pretending to be Jamaican or whatever it was. But, like, I didn't remember the specifics. And, like, I was kind of shocked. I was shocked that like, Degrassi went there with that kind of freaking language. Like, I was surprised.
The girl says, Fariza says, very funny. And she tries to keep walking. And even more offensive, Hazel steps in front of her.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're not. And that's the part where it's like, you're getting punched. Like, and it would have been, and everybody would have applauded. But the Fariza crumples up the ticket and walks away. And so Hazel heads back to Paige and Terry, who are mortified. Paige says, when she's offended, you know that you've gone too far. And Hazel says, well, dressed like that, what do you expect? And that's how we open the show. So that's fine.
Yeah. I honestly found it kind of shocking, but also, like, that's probably pretty accurate Islamophobia, you know? It's a pretty accurate portrayal of probably comments that people have had to endure and still endure. Yeah.
So we follow up the racism with, whatever it takes, I know we can make it through. Hoo-hoo-hoo. So we come back and we are in media immersion. Snake comes into the class and reminds the grade nines that it is grade nine International Day the next day. Spinner, our new best friend, or I guess Ted and Barry, right. Your new best friend, ask, what happens if you don't have a culture? Snake says, everybody has a culture. And then Hazel is like, what if we do nothing? Like, to her teacher.
And nothing good. She's like, oh, yeah. Snake's like, I'm fine.
Snake says participation is worth 10% of the grade, which doesn't sound like much to me. Like, if you really didn't want to do it, you might just be like, all right, like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a 75 instead of an 86 or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck it.
84. Yeah.
Well, like, do they have school time to work on these freaking presentations? Or are they just expected to do it in their own time? Like, it doesn't seem to be a problem that she's done nothing and this thing's tomorrow, you know?
Paige gives her the gears for it, so.
Yeah. I mean, as we see, let's be honest, a lot of the students don't really do a lot. Like, they put on, you know, they dress up and they bring food.
It's pretty easy 10%, isn't it?
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Well, some of them have, like, displays and things like that. Like, didn't they have time to work on this during school time. Like, I don't know why this is just all a surprise to Snake. People don't have things done. Like, I don't know.
So Snake starts taking attendance. Hazel is first. Her last name is Aden. And as he continues taking attendance, we hear a conversation with Paige and Hazel. Paige says, if you haven't started yet, maybe I can help you finish by finally coming over to your place. Hazel says, maybe. And Paige says, the complete lack of invites, chez vous, is paranoia inducing. Ugh. And I wish I was with Ted when that, I was watching that.
I fell off the couch.
And she asks, like,
I don't want.
She asks Hazel if they're best friends or not. And at that point, Snake is reaches Paige's name in his attendance list. And he says, I know you're there talking to Hazel as always.
Mm-hmm. And that's fine.
Yeah. Yes, of course. It's cool. It's cool. All right. B-plot time. We go to see the grade eights. They are in a class where everybody is sewing. Liberty comes into the class and she has got this terribly sewn up pillow. And Yeah, she looks at JT. JT has sewn like a store quality pillow. Like, it's perfect, right?
Love it.
Toby comes in and he says he'd rather stick needles in his eyes than do another project. And Sean says he doesn't care about this because this stuff is for girls. Liberty tries to hype up JT's project, but JT says that he's actually horrible at it. But when Sean sees the pillow that he made, he says... it doesn't look like he's horrible and calls JT, and this is Sean's words, gay T. Which could be a spinoff of Mr. T and would probably be quite an interesting show, I would say.
I feel like that's also an accurate depiction of how junior high 100%. Boys talk to each other. Like, I mean, we all know that it's, you know, littered with homophobia and sexism and stuff like that, but it's I don't think that that would be unusual even today.
I don't know what you're talking about. Toby finds this funny. Liberty then, or JT then, says that the good pillow isn't his. He takes Liberty's pillow and he's like, no, this is my pillow, and everybody just believes him. Sean's like, oh, you really are the worst. So then their teacher comes in and he looks at Manny's pillow. We don't actually see Manny in this scene, but he says, Miss Santos, this is a nice project. He then sees Liberty's pillow and says that it's incredible work. And then he takes JT's pillow and says that he should go back to geometry to find out what a square looks like. So not only
he continues the Degrassi tradition of teachers humiliating students in front of the entire class. His name is Mr. Morton, by the way.
So not only does Mr. Morton humiliate the student, but based on his reactions to their project, was he even around the entire time they were making their projects?
Purely like, at home project, I guess.
Yeah, he acts like he's like it's the first time he's ever seen it. He's not observing, giving advice or guidance. He's just like, your project is a pillow. I will see you in 2 days.
Doesn't he have a measuring tape around his neck just to make it?
Yes.
Make sure you know that he's that teacher.
Yeah, and so that's how he teaches, I guess. Like, Liberty, so Liberty literally could have just bought that pillow and brought it in.
So the guy who plays Mr. Morton, his name is Roger Dunn, the actor, and he's been in, like, everything. He has roles dating back to 1972, and he's all the way up to 2021. So still a working actor. He's been in The Littlest Hobo. Seeing Things, if you remember that one, with Louis Del Grande.
Seeing Things, like we've never seen before. Louis Del motherfucking Grande.
Yeah. He did the voice of Charles Dietz in the Beetlejuice TV series. He was on Maniac Mansion. Tales from the Crypt Keeper, Street Legal, Road to Avonlea, Goosebumps. He was in the original Police Academy movie.
Really?
In 1984. Wow.
Did he do a bunch of funny voices? Is that what his role was?
I don't think that was him.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
But I guess we'll never know for sure. Just basically absolute Canadian television royalty here.
Wow.
This guy, was he a star in the Walk of Fame or what? He must.
He should, in front of the Canadian Museum.
Yes. Does he have a wing in the Canadian Museum? I would like to hope he does.
I hope so. And here I was just going to say, this Mr. Morton just came down from the janitor's closet drinking a homemade hooch and just he left from the he's not teaching at all. He just stumbles into the classroom every once in a while. It's like, what are you kids doing? Pillows? What? You go to geometry class. You know, and here he is, Canadian royalty. So what the hell do I know? Very little, apparently.
We'll see him again as well. This is not the only episode that he's in. He's going to be in one more.
Can't wait. Spinner and Drake are walking down the hallway. Spinner tells Drake he asked his mom what culture he's from, and his mom pointed to a globe and said he's from Earth. Paige overhears this and says she had her doubts. Spinner laughs at her sarcastically, and then they walk on. Also, way to support your son, Spinner's mom.
Right. Spinner's mom, yeah. Very supportive.
What's my background? I'm really curious, Mom. You're from Earth. Shut up.
Watch my stories.
Should note, Mason is Italian, French, or English. And because his first name is Gavin, I would guess English. That's a guess, though. There's no confirmation. Though we will see what mix he thinks he is a little bit later.
Oh, yeah.
Paige asks Hazel why she's against International Day, and Hazel says, why do people need labels? Paige talks about how she's going to be wearing full Ukrainian outfit, but with some modifications, right? We're going to modernize it a little bit. Can't wait to see what that is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Did any of you guys ever have, like, an International Day or... multicultural festival at school or anything like that?
Yeah. I went to Catholic school around the bay in Newfoundland, so everybody was Irish Catholic, so we didn't have it.
It would just be a big Irish flag and go, there, from there. Yeah.
Yeah, no, like, there's not much, well, certainly growing up, and I'm sure Ted'd be the same way, but there wasn't much multiculturalism in where I'm from. I mean, pretty much in the town I'm from, Bay Harbor, there's like one or two Chinese families, like one at the time. I think there's one family that was a teacher that was from, I want to say Pakistan, but I'm not sure. But other than that, it was pretty much 95 to 99% of the people are just.
Right.
Well, my school had mini folklorama, so they did do something. Though I grew up in St. Vitale in Winnipeg in the 1980s. So by multiculturalism, we mean variations of Northern European.
And for our listeners who don't know what Folklorama is, it is a very large multicultural festival that Winnipeg throws every year in the summer. And there's basically pavilions all over the city. And you get your little passport, and that gets you into any pavilion that you go to. And each pavilion is a different country. That has food and entertainment and stuff like that. And it's awesome. I freaking love Folklorama. And Regina actually has a smaller version that's only on for one weekend.
Called Farmerama.
It's called Mosaic. Oh,
also bad.
I love it. I love going to all the different like countries and eating something at every single place. And I'm like a big nerd with the entertainment. I'm like clapping along embarrassingly. Like I... love it.
Just it's dying great, to get pulled up on stage for the part where they're like, let's bring the audience up. Pick me.
I am about it. I love it. So if you ever have the opportunity to go to Folklorama, if you're in Winnipeg or anything like that, I highly recommend it. It's so much fun.
So then Paige breaks down all her knowledge of the Jamaican culture by telling Hazel that she just needs to wear cutoff shorts and bring in roti and jerk chicken. And there you have it, Jamaica.
You're welcome.
Yes. And Hazel is not getting it right away. She's like, why would I do that? And Paige is like, well, you're Jamaican, right? And Hazel's like, yeah, Jamaican. That's me.
That's the ticket.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's right.
So, yep. So from this, like, I gather that Paige, like, it feels like Hazel has never discussed her culture with anyone. And Paige has just made this assumption for reasons. Like,
I'm assuming that Hazel mentioned it in passing in the past or something.
I guess
Question mark.
She seemed legitimately surprised when Paige mentioned that she was Jamaican, so.
Maybe she just forgot about her lies, about her background. So then after school, JT's out front of the school. Liberty approaches him and says she needs help because she's now been assigned another project. This is one of those classes where if you do well, you get assigned harder projects. And if you do poorly, you get assigned crappy projects. So you basically go on a trajectory towards a D or towards an A. So she's been assigned to make a skirt. And of course, she's got a problem because she actually sucks at this. JT has taken credit for Liberty's shitty work. JT's like, a skirt? That's a piece of cake. And Liberty says she'll probably sew her finger off. And JT doesn't care. He's like, that's your problem. So Liberty says, don't make me tell the guys you're the next Martha Stewart. So she blackmails him into helping her with her project. And he says if she does tell anybody, he'll sew her finger off. So he threatens her.
And this JT is the same guy who last year pretended to be gay so that he wouldn't have to date Liberty. And now he's an about face he's taking here now.
Do any of you guys know how to sew?
No.
No. I've like sewed on some buttons. Okay. Like buttons.
Like minor repairs kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just keep putting the thread in again, 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 again. And then eventually the button stays.
And like
that's
I don't.
What I found.
And like I don't care if the it's a different color of a thread. I don't care if it's frayed or sticks out. I'm like the button's in there. It's good enough.
It's in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Under all that thread. And Arlo, do you know how to sew?
I do. I'm not a great sewer though. I mean, I can sew to save my life, but I'm not like making my own clothes or anything like that.
I can see you at one of these folkloramas, and if there's like a sewing, like if there's a certain cultural way of sewing, you're like leaning over the booth going, I don't sew much. I can't really sew, but you know, I mean, I don't do a whole lot. They're like, would you like to do it? Oh, I couldn't. I just couldn't.
Well, like I do a lot of costume making and things like that, and costume embellishment for my like with my burlesque troupe, and my glue gun is like my best friend. I don't usually I'm not an award-winning sewer by any stretch of the imagination.
Should note that at the Scottish Pavilion they actually have the big giant machine that makes the kilts. So there is actually some sewing.
Ooh,
cool. At Folklorama, nice. In case Arlo you get back to Winnipeg.
I would make the trip just for Folklorama. I would go specifically for that. I love it.
So we get the regular transition between scenes where they show like a shot of streetcars, and then they show a shot of a gas station where gas is 64.9 in Toronto.
I wrote that down too, yeah.
Yeah, in 2002. I was like, motherfucker. Like, what a time to be alive.
What's gas in Toronto these days?
$1.30.
It's a buck 40 here.
Damn it. Yeah. Damn you, Trudeau. Hands right in my pocket all day. So Hazel goes up to it. It's a restaurant, but she's not in a mall, but it's like a kiosk, right?
Yeah.
So the guy that's working there, his name is Wayne. He appears to know her, so she is a regular at this restaurant. And he asks if she wants the usual curried goat. And she says, no, she needs something special for school. And he's like, curried goat. She says that might not work with this audience. So then he says, well, jerk chicken is pretty safe. She says, that sounds good. Just enough for 50 people, which sounds like a very small number. Like, you know, a typical high school is what? You know, 700 to 1,000 students. You take one grade, that's probably 200, 250. Like, I was in a small school, and my class was 130. So 50 sounds small. But he's like, okay, you're a regular customer. I'm going to give you a bit of a break. He doesn't say what that is. Starts loading up a tray with jerk chicken, asks what it's for, and she says it's a project on Jamaica. And he says to her and to the audience, but you're not from Jamaica. Wah, wah. He
breaks the fourth wall, yeah. Looks into the camera, gives her the thumb like, she's not from Jamaica. Yeah. She'd be crazy.
She says it's for geography class, so he takes a poster of Jamaica off the wall and gives it to her and proclaims that this will give her an A+.
The deal breaker.
Just a side note as well, don't ever do this to a restaurant. Like, don't just walk in and be like, I need you to cater something for 50 people. Like, this is stuff that restaurants need advance notice on. Just saying.
So Hazel, the worst thing that you did is not the racism, it is your etiquette when it comes to
yes!
food establishments.
That's the point of this episode.
That's actually the lesson of the episode, so there you go.
Wayne does a PSA at the end.
he's like
don't do it.
Islamophobia is pretty bad, but you know what's worse? Don't fucking come to me for 50 fucking jerk chickens with no notice.
Just a taste. What is she talking about? Not a thing.
So the next day,
this guy who plays Wayne too, he has also had a sorted long-term career. Some credits that stand out are The Littlest Hobo.
Again? Where is it, the episode where he feeds the dog jerk chicken?
It's really hot and the dog's like...
He's also been in Ready or Not.
Oh, damn.
Ooh.
Yep. So, Due South, yep. FX, the series, Kung Fu, the Legend Continues. Yeah, the list goes on. He's got tons of credits. Trailer Park Boys.
Yes, that's where I know him from. He was the, yes, I was trying to think because he looked really familiar, and that's what he's from. He was, he was another... No, he was...
What's his name? Is it real name?
He owned a certain part of the park or something. Like, yeah, he was in one of the early episodes.
What's his name?
It's Arden Bess.
Arden, A-R-D-E-N?
A-R-D-O-N.
Bess, B-E-S-S? T-P-B, let's see what who he was. Because now I'm very... Oh, Levy and Desiree.
Yes,
there you go. All right, oh, wow, excellent. Julian's foster parents. They raised yes. Julian after they found him abandoned at the trailer park. There you go. Okay. I'm very happy well now. Done. Anyways. yeah. All right. So we got the next day at school. We got the outside shot. Kids are running to school with flags. There are kids Irish dancing on the steps of the school. I was like, is this St. John's?
I said, "Hi, is this St. John's?" And me and Barry were like on the same couch sitting together, and he's like, I think it is.
So Spinner is dressed up. He's got a t-shirt on, but he's got a kerchief around his neck, and he's wearing a tiny hat. And
it's like a little cowboy hat. He looks like kind of like a little cowboy.
Yeah, he's got a slice of food and Snake is trying it. Snake is like, what is on this? And Spinner says, Polish sausage, Russian sausage, German sausage, and Chinese water chestnuts in honor of his sister. And Snake tries it, and he's like, how long did you cook this for? And Spinner's like, 5 minutes, and it's comedy. Snake spits it out. Also
interesting. I don't know. It sounds pretty good to me. Like,
well, you got to cook it longer, though, right?
I guess so.
More interesting here. Snake, I guess, is showing off his Swedish background by wearing a white t-shirt with a Swedish flag on it. Mm-hmm. So that is number one. Number two is, I would buy the Swedish thing if this guy's name was Stefan Brogren, but his name is Archie Simpson. Which is not Swedish, let's be honest. He's like, but I'm Swedish in real life. And they're like, yeah, but you're Snake. He's like, fuck it. You made me horny for a whole summer. I'm doing this. This is, I'm taking it back.
They're like, God.
Mr. Radich is speaking with Paige. He is complimenting her on her costume, and she says she has made some modifications to it. So she's wearing, you know, basic, like, female Ukrainian gear, but of course she's got the, you know, she's cropped the top and shortened the skirt and whatever. And she offers him a pierogi, which he accepts by picking it up with his fucking bare hands.
I'm an animal.
Like, pierogies aren't finger food.
No.
Like, I'm
it's
not
like
gonna
picking up a meatball.
Like, I'm not gonna lie. When I've had pierogies alone in my house, I may have used my hands for some of them.
True confession.
Well, I would argue that, like, a fried pierogi could be a finger food.
Yeah,
I feel like the boiled ones maybe not so much, but when you get the fried ones, dip them. Dip in a little sour cream. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to put a bit of crisp on them. Those pierogies.
Yeah.
Also, we have in Toronto a number of restaurants that are like pierogi places where it's basically like a dozen pierogies with like a ton of other shit on it is what you order. And it's amazing because you order like the dozen pierogies, then they'll dump like pulled pork and whatever on it. And they'll serve it to you and they'll charge you $20 and you'd be like, fuck, this is a lot of food. Like, this is a pretty good deal. Until you realize the pierogies are worth like 50 cents.
For all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the greatest scam in history, but you're still happy to have it.
I love pierogies, man. I'm like a true prairie girl at heart. I'm about it.
I am also all about the pierogies. So Snake tries Hazel's jerk chicken and he says that it's excellent. Hazel is wearing a, I guess we just call it a Jamaican cap because it's got the colors of Jamaica, you know, like that oversized cap. She's braided her hair. In each braid, it's tied with, again, a tie with the flag of Jamaica's colors. And that's pretty much it. And she's got jerk chicken. There's her project.
10% right there.
Yeah. She's like, I got this fucking poster. Like, what do you want from me? Yeah.
T-shirt that says Jamaica.
Hazel says it's her mom's recipe. And Snake mentions that this food would give the Crescent Moon Caribbean restaurant, a run for their money. And he says he lives near it. And of course, we get the implication that that's the restaurant that Hazel's actually got the chicken from.
Yeah. She said that, and then it panned to the window, and it was Wayne, and he was looking into the school, and we see a single solitary teardrop go down his face.
He's like, but I'm not your mom, weird. Hazel.
Yep.
Hazel says her mom is from Jamaica, and so they learned from the same place. And Snake says, "Yeah, man." And there's no selling from Hazel, which is pretty funny.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Hazel then looks over at Fariza, and they glare at each other because they're sworn enemies.
Yep.
So then the bell rings, and we see Radich, except this time we see a full body shot of Radich, and he's in a kilt. He is, I believe, from the Thirsty Clan. So.
Thirsty.
So it's lunchtime, so everybody is off for 45 minutes, and they'll just leave the gym unlocked and not supervise it. So it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we see Hazel outside and she walks up to Fariza, or they kind of walk towards each other, and Fariza's like, so Jamaican, eh? Like, Hazel's like, she points to her hat and braids and she's like, yeah, what was your first clue? Because that's all you need, right? Like, I put this hat on, what do you think? Fariza says, Aden isn't a common name. except in dun 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 Somalia. Hazel says, really? Well, what's your last name? Actually, I don't care. And Fariza says, well, you look Somalian. And Hazel says, you had better mind your own business before Jamaica declares war on Iraq, which in all honesty would be kind of an interesting war.
Like how a lot of geography that... between the two countries.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, this is a poorly planned event. Like, everybody's at this International Day handing out food, and then they all go to lunch. Like, everyone's just been eating. Like, why didn't this occur over the lunch hour or something? I don't understand.
Yeah, and apparently, like, the teachers run out before the students do. It's like the bell goes, and they're like, oh, it's lunchtime. Let's get out of here. It's like, what are you doing? Yeah, it's poorly planned.
Then, secondly, like, I feel like, I mean, do we feel like Fariza knows Hazel? Like, maybe from mosque or something like that? Because how, like, she's from Iraq. How the fuck does she know all the available surnames in Somalia?
I think it's pretty common.
I'm sure it is common, but, like, I find it weird that Fariza would have all of this information about specifically that she looks like she's specifically from Somalia and her last name specifically would be Somalian.
Well,
it's strange to me unless you knew, like, you know of her family through mosque or something like that.
Or you know, like going to mosque, it's a mix of different countries and you just know, like, every third person from Somalia is Aden. I mean,
yeah, I guess.
I mean, I would, Arlo, and you will know this, before we worked in Ottawa, if you told me what where the name Schmarky came from, I would have said that's a made up name. And
I didn't want to laugh.
But now I can tell you, definitely Somalian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
We had eight
Schmarkies that worked with us in Ottawa.
It's like they're looking around the room going, what's your name? Tony Schmarky. Yeah. They're like, that's not true.
No, this is the first name. Lots. And I'd never known a Schmarky before, and I've never known one since. But Ottawa has a very large Somalian community.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating. Is that a first name or a surname?
First name. Though I guess it could be a surname, too, because of the way the naming works.
Right.
And I don't, again, I don't exactly know what the exact rule is, but it's like the child takes on like the last name of the father or something like that. So as a result, like we also had like 100 employees named Muhammad, including like a dozen named Muhammad.
Yep. Double it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, just a little tidbit. I mean, I'm sure everybody knows this. The surname Aden is 895th, the most frequent last name on a global scale, held by approximately 1 in 12,353 people. This surname occurs predominantly in Africa. I'm just off the dome, where 98% of Adens reside. 97% reside in East Africa, and 88% reside in Kushtic Africa. So, I mean, you guys knew that.
Yeah, right? Of course.
Yeah, common knowledge.
Yeah, fascinating. I mean,
everybody knows that. Mm-hmm.
So what we like here in Newfoundland, our public enemy records and our African surnames. That's kind of our thing.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. So JT is in the classroom sewing. Liberty is on the lookout. No teacher in sight. So again, this is how the projects apparently get completed. They can just go in and sew at all times when they have time. And He asks her to cut a strip out of the material, and when she's about to mess it up, he coaches her on how to do it properly. Liberty says JT never stops surprising her. He's normally such a slob. JT says his mom is a seamstress, and he just grew up doing it. And she says, like mother, like son. And he says, that kind of comment is why he wants to pretend he isn't good at it. And Liberty asks why guys are so weird about it, and JT says they just are. So... there you go. Anything?
Bear, I guess. Oh, well.
Smash the patriarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It affects both men and women when we gender stereotype. There.
That's right. It hurts me too.
Mm-hmm.
Drake
it's okay to cry.
You okay, Alan? You okay, buddy?
I'm gonna power through the rest of this. I mean, we throw out the term hero a lot these days, but I am a hero for getting through the rest of the podcast. Drake and Spinner and Paige are all walking back into the school after lunch, and Drake tells Spinner he can't believe he ate 2 chili specials after he'd been eating all morning. And they walk back into the gym, but when they open the door, we see the shocked looks on their faces, and then we go over to what they're seeing, and it is Fariza's display on a rack, and it has been vandalized. It's been ripped up, including the photo of the Iraq flag, and someone has spray-painted the word terrorist on it, which, again, is a very elaborate destruction of this, and no one caught it. Like, it's not like someone just tipped it over, right? Like, there's a lot of work that was put in here.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. Frieza and Hazel both come in. They are both looking shocked at this as well. We get the fade to black as we hop to commercial. So, you know, we sell some toys or something right after this horrible hate
Polly
crime.
Pockets.
Yeah. Polly Pockets.
Barry's favorite.
Look at the horrors. So...
Oh,
we sure. Polly Pockets are a world without racism. So
don't believe the hype.
So we come back, and the police are now at the school, and 2 cops and Radich are speaking with Frieza in the hall, and Snake is in the room. I guess it's the library. It's not media immersion, I don't think, but he's got the grade 9s with him. And he tells them that a hate crime has been committed. They don't know by whom, but until they know, International Day and all classes are on hold. I understand International Day, but, like, I don't know. Like, obviously it's a terrible thing, and I recognize that now, but I will admit that, like, 14-year-old Alan would be like, no school?
It seems weird. Like, I appreciate that they would want to have a conversation with their classes about it, but by saying that all of the classes are on hold, it seems like it's a little bit... I mean, there's no reason for them to put the classes on hold.
Yeah. Like, school is canceled, everybody.
Everybody go home.
There's nothing to learn here. So...
And again, all the teachers are out the door before the students are like, yay! No school.
So we then get the start of the, like, the montage where we get, like, the serious music and comments from each of the students. We kind of bounce around here. Terry starts. She says, none of us did it. None of us are like that. And Ashley points out to Terry that she was making fun of Fariza's clothing the other day. And she also calls out Hazel. And Ashley says, just because she's from Iraq doesn't make her a terrorist. Spinner says... people are scared. What do you expect? Drake says, Spinner, you can't be serious. And then Drake tells a story about his neighbor who had a bank account frozen because his name was Osama. We then cut to Sean in the grade 8 class saying that it was just some kid trying to get attention. I'm assuming he's talking about the people who ruined the display, not Fariza. Toby says it's hate, and Miss Kwan is like, that's an interesting word.
What is she doing? That one? She just takes the gasoline and goes, here you go, dance puppets. Like, don't do that. Why?
Toby says it's like Hitler with the Jews, and his grandparents died in the Holocaust. And I mean, it's a big deal, so I don't want to say it's not the same thing, but I don't know.
After, because this is 2002, so I guess people were still pretty raw about, people's minds, I think, kind of opened in a way. Like, people got scared, but also people realizing, oh, things on the other side of the world, like, it was freaking them out. Then they maybe just started thinking about it going, like, the globalized world. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess, when the treatment of Muslim folks in a lot of places could be similar, because you're taking a religious group and pointing them out and saying they're bad and They shouldn't be allowed here and round them up. So you know what? I will say it is kind of the same. So you know what, Toby? You are right. Which is terrifying. And then maybe my favorite part of the conversation, actually my second favorite part. Kendra says her parents are white and she's Chinese. They're still a great family. And that's proof that race doesn't matter. To which Mr. Armstrong says, interesting.
As a black man, he's like, sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Sure. I'm going to go into my car and scream.
Drake says, no matter what we say in class, it doesn't change anything. And Ashley says, well, that's a really nice attitude. And then
Ashley's just like making friends all over the place. Uh-huh. Here, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then
she said, I might be from Transylvania, but that doesn't make me a vampire.
And then my favorite part, Spinner says, I don't want to be all racist, but... Which are the words that always come out before you say something racist.
Yeah, I love conversations that start this way.
Mm-hmm. He then says he does not want to get blown out of the sky by some terrorist. So he does confirm the racism.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, this conversation is interrupted when Mr. Radich walks in the room and calls out Hazel in front of everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This keeps happening. This keeps happening. Like, intense moments, Radich comes in kind of half out of breath going, I need to see so-and-so. Yeah. It's like, why are you doing that? Everybody's...
with a pitchfork in his hand.
Get him. Ugh. Bad.
So she leaves. Terry asks Paige what's going on. They're both confused. We go to Radich's office. Radich is with Fariza. Hazel is with them. And Hazel says, well, I spent all of lunch with Paige and Jimmy, which could be verified very fast. And he's like, well, what about your comment about Jamaica declaring war on Iraq? She says it was a joke. He says it wasn't funny, which in his defense, he's correct. Hazel looks at Fariza and Radich says, don't blame her. He just wanted to know what went on, and things pointed to her. And Hazel says that she'll admit that Fariza isn't her favorite person, but she would never do that to her display. And then the phone rings, and Radich finds out that it was two kids in grade 10 who did it. And this makes me wonder, if the cops are already in the school, why is the principal interviewing people? So Hazel asks if she can go, and Radich says small things like words and her fashion crime ticket are where racism starts. And then he apologizes to Fariza on behalf of the school and invites her to recreate her display in the foyer. And, I mean, you know, it's a good choice by Radich. I'll say that. He's not going to make the best decisions as time passes, but this ain't bad, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree, and I like that Hazel still got a talking to for being a fucking racist bitch, even though she didn't damage the display.
I wish Radich would use those words. Look, you're a racist bitch. We all know it. That's why you're here. So we then get the grade eights walking out of their class, and Emma says she can't believe that this happened at Degrassi, and I was just like, your mom went to Degrassi. She's told you stories. Like, of course this happened at Degrassi.
This is par for the course.
Yeah. This is, like, the nicest thing that's happened at Degrassi. JT says, he can't believe that Fariza did her project on Iraq at all. Like, aren't we supposed to be feeling sad for you, dude? Like, he says that it wouldn't be too popular, and Toby says, what is she supposed to do? Hide who she is? So now, all of a sudden, Toby, who's been a dick to JT earlier and now later, is like the good guy. And they leave, and JT and Liberty are left together. And Liberty tells JT, see, it's wrong to hide who you are. So this act of racism has taught JT that he should tell everybody that he can sew things.
I mean, I do appreciate that the B-plot, again, has at least something to do with the A-plot. I always feel like those are stronger episodes. So, you know, the B-plot is sort of vaguely, like, you know, be proud of who you are, etc. Mm-hmm. So it kind of ties in rather than something that's just totally inane and foreign.
I probably prefer a tie-in. I think you're right. Yeah. I'm with you.
Like, it's not like JT and Toby lost a dog in the school and had to find it. Had nothing to do with
it. Yeah.
Except at the end, they're like, it was the dog that vandalized it.
A racist dog.
Yeah.
You can really spray paint, though, that dog.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we go back to sewing class, and Liberty is showing off her skirt. Emma and Nanny are really impressed, and then Liberty gives the crappy pillow that she made to JT. What's the teacher's name again?
Mr. Morton.
Mr. Morton, who has not seen the students since he assigned this project, looks at the pillow and says in front of the class, this is an improvement. You'll never be a tailor, but at least you'll pass the course. And again, you would probably know more about the competency of your students if you observed them actually doing the project.
Well, you just got out of the janitor's closet. I made this clear. He just stumbled back to the classroom.
Like, this is really bad evaluation. Like, just the final product. Like, imagine if it was shop class and I just drove up in my mom's car and was like, look what I made. Then, as horny as Snake was during that summer in School's Out, nobody is hornier than this teacher over Liberty's skirt. And I'm not talking about because of how good it looks on her. I'm talking about the actual material and how it was put together. He says, he goes, oh, look at the drapery. Perfectly flat stitching. You have a true gift. A sewing genius. So.
Oh. And then he's gone. And then he's like, oh.
It's like, and I can use it to clean up. Liberty finally confesses. I love how also it's him laying it on thick, like the guilt trip on Liberty. This is amazing. You're the best. You are. There's no one better than you. Like, you're better than that piece of shit, JT.
The skirt was cute, right? But not that cute.
Yeah. Yeah. So Liberty finally confesses that it was JT who did it. And to prove it, she says, you can compare my blood to the blood on the pillow. So implying that she cut her fingers and bled on her project.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I like that.
JT just sitting there holding a bloody pillow. So that's cool. So immediately, Sean and Toby start laughing again. Sean says JT is a seamstress. And Toby says, can you make me a blouse? And JT says, remember when you had an eating disorder last episode? Huh?
Remember?
What about that fuckstick? He does not say that. Like, mm-hmm. Toby all of a sudden a dick again. So that's cool. JT is embarrassed.
Yeah, I was finding good how the school just went through a huge hate crime. But it's okay for these guys to make and plot this guy's gay. Like, it's just so. I just don't get it.
I guess also, so classes could just start again because they solved the crime, right? So, because weren't classes not happening?
Oh, yeah. They solved the crime. Now let's start making fun of somebody because he's a good sewer.
Actually, let's think about this timeline. Because all of these things happen over the course of 2 days, right? Like, we start off the episode with Snake saying, tomorrow is International Day. Then the second part of the episode is International Day. In that time, JT has submitted 2 projects for home ec, sewed them together. So again, they just don't have time for these projects that they have to do on their own. It's great. Anyways, so we get Hazel approaching Fariza, and Fariza is putting together a new display. She says Hazel doesn't have to help her, and Hazel says, don't you think I should? Fariza says, I'd prefer if you didn't. And then...
this girl is ice.
Good, I love it. Like, fire.
Just ice coursing through her veins.
Yeah, Fariza is becoming my favorite, and she solidifies it at the end of the next part. So Hazel starts to get all sad. She says she knows how hard it is to be a Muslim. And Freeze is like, you're Jamaican, remember? Like, totally rubbing her nose in her lie. Hazel admits to being Somalian, and then she says that in her old school, she was cornered by girls, and one of them held her, and another one hit her, and she is crying as she tells this story, and she says they called her a terrorist, and Fariza does not give a fuck.
I love it.
I mean, nationality and religion are two different things. You can be both Jamaican and a Muslim.
Yes.
For the record.
Yeah.
Nope. Choose one.
Also, I was like, well, just because she's like, even if she knows she's from Somalia, it doesn't mean that she's automatically Muslim. And then I looked into it, and it's like 99.8% of Somalians are Muslim. So I was like, oh, okay. That's probably a fair assessment. All right.
So Frieza says the words that I know I was thinking when I heard this, which is, so that happened to you, and then you did what you did. Like, mm-hmm. Frieza, of course, says, well, you sure learned from them, sarcastically. And that is actually, it's not the last we see of Fariza, but she is my hero, and they need to do a whole season on her, just giving ice to everybody.
Unfortunately, we never see her again.
Oh, no.
I don't know if we even see a character wearing a hijab ever again, truthfully. We just kind of appear for this episode and then disappear.
Yeah. JT is at his locker. And Sean and Toby come up and keep making fun of him. But before they can really get into it, a group of the girls in his class come up, led by Emma and Manny. And they say they'd like him to make skirts like Liberty's. And JT says he'd be happy to oblige, but he's going to need to. And then he gives like the eyebrows to Toby and Sean. He's like, I'm going to need to measure you.
And then, ooga, ooga.
Yeah, and then he says he's going to charge $35 for one and $60 for the other. And so immediately JT's identity problem is solved by sex and money.
That old chestnut.
Well, it's like, mm-hmm. It's not like something really like important happened where JT learned to be himself. He was just like, oh, I can make money and feel up girls because of this. Cool. Mm-hmm. Lesson learned.
Nothing.
That's the moral of the story.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's like, I guess I can't be gay T if I'm crushing puss, Sean. What do you think of that? Yeah. Anyways, we all learned our lesson. In media immersion, Snake asks or tells everybody that Hazel wants to show everyone something. So she starts a slideshow. It is called Hazel Adan, The Real Me. And she tells everybody that she lied to them yesterday and some for longer. She says that she was born in Mogadishu, Somalia, and that she's a Muslim. And she shows a photo of her and her mom and dad. Her mom and her came to Canada to flee a civil war, and her dad came after. And she has a vase that her best friend broke, and so she can't show it off. Huh? It's a yuck reference. Terry says, Fariza wears that headscarf thing. How come you don't? So talking about Fariza, who's sitting right in the room.
Yeah.
Like, no, don't ask Fariza why she wears it or what it is. Ask Hazel. You know,
yep.
Hazel says it's a hijab and that she does wear it when she goes to mosque, but to take it on full time is a personal and important decision. She says she's sorry she lied. She was ashamed of who she was, but not anymore. And then she shows a photo of herself in a hijab and the class claps and the show ends. And we never get a reference to Hazel, hijabs, or being Somalian ever again.
And Islamophobia was fixed forever. The end.
The end, yeah.
We hardly knew ye Islamophobia. That's the first time we have had a we hardly knew ye to an actual, like, concept.
Religion? Oh, no, wait. It's not a religion.
To a religion. Well, yeah. To a whole religion going, we hardly knew ye.
Yeah.
But the concept of Islamophobia.
Yeah.
And, the whole thing.
Before we go, I get comments from everybody here from the Degrassi fandom page. There's some good ones here. Lisa Du says, "This is such an important episode and shows that Islamophobia is real and that it needs to stop." Nailed it.
Well,
thanks for that. At
the end of this episode, 22 minutes in, and it's done. Watch the show again.
Yeah. A number of people saying that they wish Hazel had more plot lines also agree. And then Love is Folly 27 said, "Seriously, I'm so proud of Canada. If Degrassi was an American show, they'd reveal that Hazel and Fariza were evil terrorists."
Oh, jeez.
For our American listeners, do you agree? Apparently, one of the people that commented here said that when JT used the term gay tea, or sorry, when Sean used the term gay tea, it might have been censored in the States.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if that's true, but this is, you know, if the commenter on the Degrassi Wikipedia says it, it must be true.
It's on the internet. It has to be true.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And there's more. Lots of comments on this one. Lots of people who are very into this one thought it was a great episode. But what did we think? Because, of course, we're the official Degrassi authorities. Thoughts?
I noticed that All-Star Fan 62 quoted Liberty as she's talking to JT, and she says, "You claimed the D."
Also true.
That D. Also, on IMDb, it gives some trivia that Andrea Lewis, who plays Hazel in real life, actually is Jamaican on her father's side. So that's interesting.
Oh, nice. Any final thoughts?
I was ashamed, but I got better. That was how it worked, right? That's what she said. That was her last quote.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I honestly liked this episode. I thought it was well done. I don't think that a lot of shows were tackling Islamophobia at this time. And it's very topical to, it's still topical. Obviously, racism didn't just disappear, but particularly how soon this was following 9/11 and like the uptick in harassment and violence and that kind of things that, you know, the Muslim population was going through at that time. Like, it's very topical for that time as well. And I thought Degrassi did a good job. I thought they went there.
It was jarring when, like, I saw, because, again, I've never seen this show, but when I saw the vandalism thing, I was kind of actually shocked. Like, I was like, oh, geez, this is bad. You know, it was, kind of intense.
You weren't like, this is good?
No, I was like, interesting.
You really went for it with your stance.
I was like Armstrong. I just said, interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One thing that cracked me up about this episode was how they, with the soundtrack, they like reggae-ify.
Oh, yeah.
The theme.
I noticed that.
Mm-hmm. Like, just kind of skirting the offensive situation.
Like, it was, as they usually do, generic enough that it's not like anybody specific, but it's like, yeah, it's regified as much as possible.
Yeah.
No, I really thought this was a good episode. I think it tackled a topic, certainly at the time, was very prevalent in society, and I don't think there was many shows at the time that would tackle it. I really enjoyed the montage and all the different points of view. It's like, oh, you know, our family's perfect because I'm Chinese and I'm raised. And so you see all the different point of views. I really like that. Overall, I enjoyed this episode. I thought it was a good way of handling a very delicate topic.
Fan of the show, or a fan of this episode, too, thought they did a good job. I remember the first time seeing it, and I'm like, okay, we're going here. Like, because no one was really doing it, at least for children's shows. So, good episode.
Well, yeah, and they get straight to it, you know, like they're not skirting around, you know, like it's not a suggestion of Islamophobia or whatnot. It's like she gets right in there, starts calling someone a terrorist, you know.
Yeah.
It goes straight there. So kudos to the writers.
I mean, in all honesty, I know that Raddich gave her the third degree over what she did, but like Hazel should have been suspended for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, the fact that she didn't even get a detention, from what we could tell, like, geez, like, you got off really lucky, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it seems to be, like, it comes to light, her, what she called her, like, a terrorist and all this stuff. But it comes to light after the display is all torn up. It's like, you should have found that out. Like, hopefully you would have found that out, and that would be enough to just go, you're gone. That's it. No, zero tolerance. You know?
Yeah. Yep. So next time, it's a great day for a white wedding. Great day to start again. We get an episode, part one of a two-part episode full of hijinks. Hijinks, okay. And hilarity and abortion talk. So stick around for that, right? Right, folks?
Can't wait for the hijinks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, anyways, leave us a 5-star review, because we're a 5-star podcast. So find us on iTunes or all of the different places. Tell your friends about the podcast. Hype us up. Follow us on Twitter, again, at Narbos Podcast. On Instagram, Narbos and Broomheads Podcast. And email us, narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. And on behalf of all of the pals tonight, we will see you in a couple of days. Peace.
Bye.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
Well, I just said I don't get my love. I would never do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about Kylan. I would never get girls out of my house.
Maybe I would.
I would walk around the cafe cup just to get the car my dreams. Everyone thinks I'm so cool. I've read crazy, that's the school. Yeah.